Let me first apologize for not wearing the 70s. You know, of course, we were here last week, and so I knew this was coming. And I looked this week. My town doesn't have a costume shop. And so I looked online, and the costume was going to be like $50 or whatever. And I just couldn't drop $50 on a costume. So here, I'm just wearing this stuff because this is what I look like. So sorry about that. Gene and I had discussed, because I was born in the 70s, so Gene and I discussed maybe just showing up in a diaper. But we felt like that might be a bit inappropriate, so we didn't. All right. Did somebody just say thank you? That's rude. All right. Okay. So I want to start off this morning by using your imagination. So I want you to imagine with me. I want you to imagine a giant Colosseum. Or sportsplex or whatever with, you know, the whole thing. Like, the first one that comes to my mind is the Big House in Michigan, because it's just so big, and we saw that last week, and not to bring up painful memories, but I saw that last week at Gene's house, and it's just huge. I think it'll hold 120,000 people or whatever, or Bristol Raceway, whatever is in your mind, with, you know, some sort of sporting event happening. And in your mind, you can paint whatever sport below you'd like. Soccer, football, baseball, car racing, track and field, whatever you like. Just in your mind, just build this magnificent stadium with thousands of people around, millions of people around, if you will. And I want you to think about all the people that are there, right? Because you've got the players that are actually on the field. There's players on the field. And then there's coaches on the sidelines. And there's announcers in the booth. And there's you know, officials for whatever sport that you've imagined. All of these people are there. And then there's the spectators, okay? Now, in your picture, in your mind, where are you? Are you in the stands? Are you on the field? Are you just floating above it as you imagined it in your mind? Okay. In our Christian walk today, here's the crux of what I'm going to say is right here. You are on the field. You are a player. A lot of people want to think that it's just the pastors who are the players. Just the professional paid ministers who are the players in this game of Christianity. And that's just simply not true. If anything, pastors are more like coaches. Because, you know, when you pastor for a living, at least in my experience from here several years ago, your circles of influence get more and more and more Christian. You don't know as many, like, lost people as you did when you were working in the world, right? I'm certain someday when that's my office instead of the register at the woodshed, like, I'll see way less people in general. I mean, way less people in general, because there's like two people that work here. You know, and I see hundreds at the woodshed every day. And so certainly my ability to hang out with non-Christian people is going to be diminished. So if anything, pastors are more like coaches. We're here to cheer you on because you're the one doing the thing. Now, there are spectators. There are spectators. But you are not one of them. In order to be a spectator, you have to be dead. Okay? The Hebrews chapter 11 clearly points out all these biblical heroes. And then at the end of it, it says, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, these people are watching what's happening. The Abrahams, the Noahs, the Moseses, the whatever, your grandma that's passed on. These people are watching what's happening. They are the spectators. You are the players. And you might think, I can't play because I've been a this, and I've been a this, and I still have this problem, and I still have that problem. And I've got all these things wrong with me that make me not eligible for playing, right? And that's just not true either. Because if you want to know the truth, you want to know the truth, we're all working on something. Right? I don't want you to have the impression that just because Pastor Randy and I stand up here with a microphone that we've got it all together. Right? Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't want to go to church because of all the hypocrites? The truth is, Randy and I are hypocrites too. And you are too. Like, and if somebody says, I don't want to go to church because of the hypocrites, well, if you go, you'll be one too. Because we're all working on something. I don't want you to imagine for a second that just because I stand up here with this microphone that I've got it all together. Look, I still sin, and I sin a lot. I have terrible attitudes sometimes, and my wife and I get into it occasionally, and I'm, you know, mean to my kids sometimes when I shouldn't be, and I get raw with the people at the Woodshed sometimes, and I laugh at inappropriate jokes that I shouldn't, and the list goes on and on and on, and my selfishness just abounds. My selfishness just abounds. Like, me first, right? So please don't think that just because you're selfish or because you're still struggling with this or this or this or this that you can't play. You can still play. You're playing whether you want to or not. You're on the field. If you're alive, you're on the field. Let's read the Great Commission because that is clearly directed at all of us, not just microphone-toting people, not just Billy Graham, not just Randy. It's pointed at all of us. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is pointed at all of us. You're like, well, but I can't do a microphone. I can't stand on the street side and preach. You guys ever seen a street preacher? Right? That, like, I wouldn't want to do that either. I've done it like twice in my life, and I don't recommend it. It's hard, and people hate you. They absolutely hate you. So most of the witnessing that happens is just happening relationally. It just happens because you're in the right spot at the right time. So I'm going to read a story to you about a couple of simple guys who accomplished something fantastic just by using who they were. Okay? This is found in Acts chapter 3. This is Jesus has left, and the disciples are a little bit like, okay, what do we do now? So they just run around, and then the Holy Spirit shows up, and they start preaching in power and all this other stuff. But let's read in Acts chapter 3. This is just after the church began to really grow. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. That's his exclamation point. Look at us. The man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up, and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood to his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. So what I want you to see from this story is that John and Peter gave what they had, okay? Gave what they had. They didn't have the money that the guy wanted. They gave what they have. Now, here's the trick. All of you have something, right? I've laid out this. These are fruits of the Spirit. These are gifts that God has given us. These are all, and this is by no means a comprehensive list of stuff that the Holy Spirit can give us, but this is part of it, right? We all have some portions of some of this stuff, okay? And you might even look at this list and be like, yeah, but what about a guy like Gene? Even Gene has some of these things. You know, it burned him up to hand me that envelope. You know it did. I don't even see. I don't know where he went. I hope he heard that. Anyway, you might think that, like, I don't have some of this stuff. You don't need all of this stuff. And again, this is not the whole list of everything that the Bible offers us or that the Holy Spirit offers us. But this is some of the stuff that the Holy Spirit offers us. And so some of you are walking around with 4 or 5 of these. Some of you are walking around with 8 or 10 of these. I mean, there's 25 of these or 24 of these here. Maybe some of you have 23 of them. I don't know. Maybe some of you are really good at one and okay at a couple of others and don't have any of the rest. But you have some. You have some. The Holy Spirit doesn't, like when you get saved, the Holy Spirit doesn't be like, no, you get none. That's not happening. When you got saved, if you're in this room and you're a Christian, you got some of this stuff. Okay? So use what you got. So let's say, for example, that you have the gift of healing and you're walking by the temple beautiful or the gate beautiful and a guy's asking you for money. You don't have any money. What can you give him? You can give him healing. All right, let's look at some of these others, though. Let's say biblical knowledge, right? Let's say you've got lots of biblical knowledge. What could one do with biblical knowledge in your groups, like in your circles of influence, right? When somebody says, you know, well, the Bible says that godliness is next to, or cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, no, the Bible doesn't say that, right? Or some other stuff, like, people say the Bible says some really dumb stuff. I mean, they do. You guys have heard it, and you're like, I don't think that's in the Bible, right? If you've got your biblical knowledge, then you can use that, right? So, you know, I possess a handful of these. Like, I'm all right at administration. I think it's fair to say that. How about this? I'll tell you, I really don't like to use myself in stories, but I'll use myself in this story this time. One of them up there is discernment. At least I'm pretty sure I typed that out. Oh, is it up there? I don't see peace either, but whatever, that's fine. Okay, so I have a lot of young waitresses, and they bring in a lot of young boy customers. That's the way it works, right? And so there was one gal, she was dating this young boy, and he was sitting at the bar. It was closing time, and it was time for him to get out because I got to, you know, count money and stuff. It's time for him to go. We're mopping and things. Anyway, I had to walk past him for some reason or another, and the discernment in me just felt like something is off with this kid. Something is off with this kid. And so, you know, I ushered him out because it was time for him to go. And I told my young waitress, I told her, I said, look, it's none of my business or whatever. You do what you want to do. But there's something is off with that guy. I don't like him. She got mad and quit 2 weeks later. That's not a lie. So I use my discernment, right, and it turns out he was not a good guy. I'll leave it at that. So I use the discernment that the Lord gave me to talk to her. Now, I way messed it up. What if I had taken that moment and said to her, hey, listen, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit gave me something, and I just don't feel like he's a very good guy. I really think you ought to be really careful with that. Instead, I kind of barged in there, just like, that dude is he's a nothing. You need to get rid of him. And I wrecked the relationship because of that. She still doesn't like me to this day. And that makes me sad. But what if I had used my discernment in a different way? What if I had used my discernment in a way to reach out to her? What if I'd used it as a way to bring her closer to Jesus rather than run her away from me, right? So that's a gift that, had I used it properly, probably could have been pretty effective for the kingdom, right? Probably could have saved her a little bit of heartache. But I didn't use it right, and so it didn't work right. But you all have some of this stuff, right? So now I'm going to call for a little bit of audience participation. Is there anybody who would be brave enough to come up here, pick up a couple of these, and talk about how God has used these in your life to see other people come to know Christ or be witnessed to? Is there anybody? I planned for this in my notes. Oh, come on. What's that? Well, up here are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I've got leadership, administration, special knowledge, discernment, hospitality, teaching, tongues and interpreting tongues, prophecy, biblical knowledge, faith, faithfulness, healing, and evangelism. I've got all those up there. Come on, somebody. Good deal. Do you mind to use the microphone so people online can hear you?
Okay, so the two that I'm going to pick out, is it on?
Yes.
Okay, is patience and kindness. Patience, my kids may say otherwise, but being a single mom for years, trust me, God worked that out in me, and I had to learn to be very, very, very patient. So it's still, of course, a work in progress, but I would say compared to where I was before I was a believer and following Christ, I've came a long way. Kindness is a big one because I work in an environment, some of you know I work at the courthouse, and, you know, we get different characters that come in there, and it would be easy for me to judge and kind of treat them like nobodies, right? But the God in me says, nope, when they come in, I'm going to treat them with the love that Christ has for them. So those are two, my two examples.
That's good.
Amen.
Good job. I know we got somebody else that wants to do that.
Yeah, people are they're itching. Yep.
What? Yeah, come on.
Yep. It's okay. No, come on. Follow her.
Come on.
Fine.
The two that I picked were faith and joy. I've really had a lot of joy with, like, you know, Stacy. In faith, I've had a lot of faith in God to help me through what I've been through.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Our little girl's been through a lot in the last couple of years, and Ben and Stacy took her in and made her a part of their family. And she's a niece of Stacy and Ben, and they came in and really just kind of rescued her out of some difficult situations. So thank you.
So the two that come to mind for me is evangelism and love. Several years ago, I was at Aldi's, and there was a couple behind me that looked to be homeless. They had about three items on the thing, bananas, crackers, something like that. And I just felt the Lord, you just need to buy those for them. So I bought them for them. They were so grateful. And afterwards, I said, hey, we have a Christmas Eve service coming up at our church. I'd love for you to come, you know, put it out there. All of a sudden, I'm at the Christmas Eve service, and I turn around, just God told me to turn around. I see them in the back. Their eyes were bright, and they were here. And I was like, praise the Lord. And it was just the most joyful moment I've had in a long, I mean, I can remember that like it was yesterday. So praise God that they came. Awesome.
How many of you see the evangelism in her?
Yeah.
Preaching, I'm not
okay.
Facilitating.
All right.
Come on, come on, come on, Emma. I'm just trying to tell him he's leading the show. I'm not.
Right.
I'm just helping.
This is kind of like a result of my parents through their kids. My parents have six kids. And recently, me and my sister Avery work at the same job, and we were house-sitting for our bosses, and we found out that our boss called our dad and said, I don't know what you did with your kids, but you did something right. And me and Avery are kind of rambunctious, so that was really saying something. But just like us telling stories from our childhood and like different stuff. Now, my parents weren't perfect, but like, you know, they did something right because they followed God, and they tried to raise their kids their best they could according to him.
So what's your word?
Oh yeah, I was trying to think of that. Maybe faithfulness and just like leadership and teaching.
Anybody else? Good deal.
Nope. Nope.
Yep. If you're not holding a microphone, the people online can't hear you. It's not.
Nope. Nope. But you are limited to about 20 seconds.
I'm going with gentleness and teaching. I did daycare for many, many years. And with all the little kids, we would always pray before our meals. And a lot of my kids, I did interesting rates. So I had a lot of people that were single parents. A lot of them have vouchers. So not always people that had come up the best way and were trying to do their best. And I had a family of a dad that had three or four kids, different moms, hadn't married any of them, and I had his youngest. And one day the mom came in and she says, "Do you guys pray before you eat?" And I said, "Yeah, we do." And she goes, "Well, Brendan keeps trying to say a prayer before we eat, but he was two." They said, "We have no idea what he's saying. Can you tell us what it is so we can pray with him too?" And I just thought, wow. I mean, I don't know where they are now, but that was something.
So. That's right.
I think you have 23 out of the 24.
I don't want to be up here, but I'm here. So I was thinking faith and also patience. So a lot of you know that on my birthday, like Allah, several years ago, probably 14, 15 years ago, my husband almost died. And I didn't know him. But at that time, I was being patient and praying for my spouse. And while my husband was literally being airlifted for a traumatic brain injury, I was praying for him. And God healed him, not 100%, but almost 100%. He went on to graduate, got a master's degree. He supports our family basically single-handedly because I don't work really. So God is faithful. And also carrying that through with our children, with Camden and his heart disease and his autism. And just God is faithful in the hard times. We just have to be patient and prayerful and, you know.
Amen. All right.
Kathy, come on.
I have a wonderful son, and when he was growing up, he went to church every Sunday with me. I knew at that time he didn't want to go, and I got the looks, I got the, "Oh, Mom." But it wasn't very long after we had joined this church. We were in one of the Bible studies. And we were kind of going around talking just about things that have been good in our lives. And he said, "My mother took me to church every Sunday. And," he said, "I can't tell you the times that I didn't want to go and I didn't want to listen. But," he said, "I can't thank the Lord enough that she did that." And all of you who have children who are sitting here going, "I stayed with my faith. I stayed with my biblical knowledge and the scripture when God says, raise your child up in the ways of the Lord and he will not depart." And I don't think that was the nicest thing that my son could have said about me ever.
I guess I'm going to have to say one is giving. And this comes from when my son was like 3 years old, we had to move out of our house and go into this really small thing because we'd gotten divorced and all that sort of thing, you know, long story. But we had nothing. I had broken my foot, like wasn't working, and had to rely on people to supply for us. And during that time, I was really convicted about giving, like tithing. I was like, well, how the heck am I going to do that? I don't have anything. And then I'm reading the story about the woman that gave everything. I was like, well, okay, if she gave everything, God's going to take care of her. So that's what I did. And I have to tell you, if you start doing that, it's so fun. Because then you go, okay, what's God going to do for me now? Because it's just the neatest thing. And so I got to the point where I was giving and doing that sort of thing, and I did it, and then I started doing it and claiming it on my taxes. And now I'm more convicted of, you know, let's just do this anonymously so that, you know, you don't have to tell anybody what you gave or what you're giving or what you're doing. But like my dad says, he goes, my dad, I've prayed for my dad just turned 95. So please pray for my dad that he accept Christ before he's dead. But I was telling him the other day about, you know, Jesus, and he goes, yes, Connie, yes, I know. And he says, I don't know how you do it. And I said, I'll tell you how I do it. He goes, but you don't have anything. I said, well, that's what you say. If you look at my bank account, if anybody in here were to come in here and look at my bank account, they would go, I don't know how she does anything that she does. But I do, because God provides. He says he will provide, and he does provide. And that's what you got to start learning and getting in your heart, that God provides for you, but you have to step out and you have to do it. And it doesn't matter how small it is. You've got to do it and start doing it. And then sit back and watch and expect, because God says to expect. So start expecting and then just see what happens. Last week he told us to give. And I had just sold a chair in my house so I'd have extra money. That was in my purse. And I'm sitting there in my chair, and he says, we're giving to Israel. And I had been wanting to give to Israel. But, you know, who do you trust? So it's like, okay. And God says, give everything in your purse. I'm like, are you serious right now? And so I sat there a minute, and I told my girlfriend when we left, I said, I need to get to the point where I don't even question God when he says to do it. You just do it. And so I sat there a minute, and he goes, I told you, give everything. It's like, okay, fine. The rest of that day, everything was paid for me, everything. And there was multiple things that happened. So I'm just saying, take the chance, do it, and give. That's my.
I was going to preach on giving next week, so I guess I don't need to do that. You got anything else?
I had one other, I tell you what, I got one other small point here, and then I'll pass it back to you about that. There's one other thing I wanted you to note in this story here. In verse 2 of chapter 3, as they approached the temple, the man lame from birth was being carried in. And God put this guy in their way at just the right time. They had what they needed with them. They were carrying around their gifts, right? They were carrying around their fruit. They were carrying around their stuff. And they were ready for when this guy crossed their path. And so you may come across people, because the guy thought he wanted money, but he really needed healing. Yeah. Right? You're going to cross paths with people who need what you got, even though they may not know they need what you got. God has given a church this size so many blessings, so many gifts and stuff. Really and truly, if we were to operate them in the way that we're supposed to, there's no reason why we couldn't change Tippecanoe County. And I really genuinely believe that. I really genuinely do. So I tell you what, I will pray and I'll give it back to Pastor. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that we use the gifts, the talents, the fruits that you have laid on us. God, I pray that we use them for your glory. God, because we can take a skill like leadership and use it for us. God, I pray that we use it for your glory. Sorry. God, you're awesome and you're amazing. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Something you just thought the rapture was about to figure out then. All the events are making us look a bit different in life, right? Amen. Amen. It's a difficult time. It's a strange time. It's a hard time. But at the same time, there is this sense of like gloriousness about it. So just see things unfolding and knowing that Jesus is really, really close to that move when the Father says it's time. Until then, we live every day as if we're dying. We live every day as if this could be our last. We take everything that God has put into us and we just become a drink offering to those around us. I'm going to head to the door, so we're going to close out with, I mean, it's just, they're just going to play it while we're closing out. We need to take these bags out there so that people take those. If you're at a table and, like, Silas wants both of those vans, you might need to give one to Levi. I don't know. It depends on where Levi's sitting. But okay. So you can, if you have the want to, you can gather up that candy, stick it in your van, take it home with you. You good with that? Okay. All right. Awesome. All right. So let's do that part. Don't take the metal tins. We're going to probably use those again sometime. I think that's it. So how are we going to get the bags? How about all my grandkids come and get the bags and take them out to the door? Because I've got like 89 of them. I love my grandkids. They are so awesome. They were here early. They were here setting up tables and serving. I just love them. So thankful for them. They write me notes. By the way, Pastor Appreciation at Faith is like, I think, a couple weeks. And, of course, my grandkids go to Faith. And it's cool how they do that because they get letters. You know, they send you letters. And I would love to read. I maybe do that next week, just read you the letters. Because, I mean, they love me. You got a hard act to follow, dude. I mean, that's your biggest, toughest crowd right there. In fact, they say, but Pappy, you have been my only pastor. And I'm like, I know, but Jared's, he's not too bad. All right, so that's gone. I think that's it. Let's run the video and let's just go out of here celebrating. Amen? All right.